Good morning and welcome to St. Paul's this morning. It's great to meet together on this lovely frosty Sunday morning to worship God. A very special welcome to family and friends of the O'Grady and Turnbull families who are worshiping with us today. Thank you, choir, for that lovely introit as we were coming to worship. The psalmist says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation." So we continue to worship God in the first hymn. Glory be to God the Father. Glory be to God the Son. Glory be to God the Spirit. Great Jehovah, three in one. Let us bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, it is good to be in the Lord's house this morning. And we recognize that it is not of our own doing, for you have drawn us by the cords of your love and mercy and grace. As we would come near to you, Lord, please come near to us. Grant that we might not just come in voice and in action, but also in heart, worshipping you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, worshipping together in spirit and in truth. We just come to you, our Heavenly Father, just as we are. We do not come with airs or graces, but as open books before the eyes of your Holy Spirit. As you turn the pages of our lives, you know us inside out. You're aware of our faults and failings. You're aware of our sin. Some of that is known to us and some is unknown. But help us to acknowledge our failings. Help us to own our sin and grant to us penitent hearts that we might confess our sin to you and know your forgiveness from all that would undermine our right relationship with you. Help us, O God, to live holy and godly lives, that we may be found spotless and blameless and at peace with Jesus as we approach the day of his return. Lord Jesus, as we anticipate the remaining hours of this day and the coming days of this week, we acknowledge that we need you. Every hour we need you. So please fill us afresh with your Spirit and help each one of us to walk humbly with you. Please receive this time of worship. May we give to you all that we are and all that we have in glad adoration as we offer our prayers in the strong and holy name of Jesus, in whose words we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I didn't pack my sunglasses for coming to church this morning. I think I would have needed them. standing there. I was wondering, where is everybody? Now, I'm hoping that if there's young people further down the church at all, that you will come down in a wee minute to join us. If you want to come down now, you're more than welcome. Because I've not got something especially for yourselves today, but I'm just going to tell you about something that's going to happen in a wee while, after the next singing. We're going to be having, what we call baptism. Three little babies are going to be coming in. Can you remember when you were baptized? Can any of the grown-ups remember when they were baptized? No? Well, it's a special day, and we're going to be having a baptism where mums and dads are bringing their babies, and they're coming into the church. But not only that, they're coming to be with you. And that's very special for all of us, isn't it? To be with us and to be with God, who is here with us today. And they are coming, and we're going to baptize these little babies, Adam and Jensen and Leighton, and we're going to receive them into the family of the church. Into the family of the church. So they'll be part of the church just like you are, and I am part of the family of the church. And this is a very special sacrament. We call it a sacrament in our congregation here. We have two sacraments. We have the sacrament of what we call the Lord's Supper, and we use that table at the back for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And the sacrament of baptism, we use what we have here, the baptismal font. And there are special times that God has given to us to help us in our Christian faith, to encourage us in our Christian walk. And our little friends, as they come in, they don't understand all of that. So their mums and dads will be telling them all about the time when they were baptized and that you were here with them. You were here to see it and to receive them as they come into the church. And that's very, very special. And we're going to do that. We're going to sing a special hymn for them as they prepare to come in. And will you help me? And if there's any other boys and girls, as I said, anywhere in the church, please come down and be part of it and see all that's going on here. We're going to sing what we would refer to as the baptismal hymn. Our children, Lord, in faith and prayer, we now devote to you. Let them your covenant mercies share, and your salvation through wonderful words. And it's a prayer that we're going to sing. There we are. Oh, what a wonderful front row we have here. You have the best seats in the church this morning. And it's great to welcome you. Great to have you with us. Gosh, I'm excited. This is a lovely day. This is a wonderful day for the Church of Jesus Christ. Because the sacrament of baptism is a very meaningful occasion for us as the family of God. And we are so glad that we have that opportunity this morning to share it together. The Word of God reminds us, and it's something that we need to be reminded maybe at all times. It says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Without God, we wouldn't even be here, because believe it or not, he has gifted us the very breath of life that enables us to come to church. And so we are absolutely dependent upon God for every moment of our lives. But friends, we are met as a congregation of God's people to administer the sacrament of baptism to Adam Alexander O'Grady, the son of James and Katie, to Jensen Archie Turnbull and Leighton Crawford Turnbull, the twin sons of Alan and Ailsa. We read in the Bible that at the beginning of his ministry, our Lord was baptized by John in the River Jordan, so identifying himself with our sinful humanity. His baptism found fulfillment in the cross, where he gave himself for the life of the world. After his resurrection, Jesus commanded his disciples to preach the gospel to all nations and to baptize. And we read that on the day of Pentecost, Peter said to the people, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This sacrament of baptism is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace which God has made with us in Christ. By baptism we are received into the family of the church. Christ brings us from death to life so that having been raised to life with him, we live as heirs together of his kingdom. The children of Christian parents, though they may not understand these things, are within the covenant, and they belong to the life of the church. And Jesus claims them as his own, saying to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Since Adam, Jensen and Leighton are not of an age to speak for themselves, and in the light of these blessed promises, their parents and the church are called to make promises, so that through Christian nurture they may come to make their own profession of faith, trusting in the righteousness of Christ alone, the only mediator between God and men, and serve Jesus in the church and in the world. James and Katie, Alan and Ailsa, I'm just going to invite you to stand, please. And I have these questions to put to you, and the promises that I'm required to ask you, and hopefully you will respond positively. James and Katie, Alan and Ailsa, do you present your children, Adam, Jensen and Leighton, to be baptized, earnestly desiring that in his own appointed time the Holy Spirit will effectually work in their lives all that is meant and signified by baptism? I do. In presenting Adam, Jensen and Leighton for baptism, do you confess your faith in one God, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do you promise, depending on the grace of God, to teach your children the truths and duties of the Christian faith, and by prayer and example, to bring Adam and Jensen and Leighton, bring them up in the life and worship of the church? The Lord bless you and your children, and enable you faithfully to keep these promises. It's quite a daunting thing to make these promises, but can I just say to you that you're not on your own. because I have to put this question now to the congregation. Do you, as a congregation of God's people here in St. Paul's, promise to play your part in Adam, Jensen and Leighton's Christian upbringing by providing instruction in the gospel of God's love, the example of Christian faith and character, and the strong support of the family of God in fellowship, prayer and service? If you are prepared to accept these responsibilities, could you please stand? Let us bow in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, in your infinite mercy and goodness, you have promised that you will not only be our God, but also the God and Father of our children. We pray that as you have called us to share in the fellowship of faith, so you will receive these children whom we bring to you now. Be with us in the power of your Spirit, and so use this water and our obedience that Adam, Jensen and Leighton, whom we baptize in your name, may receive the fullness of your grace and always remain in the number of your faithful people through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Adam, Jensen and Leighton, for you Jesus Christ came into the world. For you he lived and showed God's love. For you he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, "It is finished." For you he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. For you he ascended to the right hand of God. And all this he did for you, though you may not fully understand it or know it yet. So the word of God is made true, that we love because Christ loved us first. James and Katie, James, could you maybe take Adam in your arms, please, and just the pair of you come. There we are. Hello. I didn't see you. You were sleeping the last time. Eh? That's great to see you. I take Adam. You're allowed to yawn. The grown-ups can't yawn. Jensen, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and dwell in your heart forever. Leighton Crawford, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God Almighty descend upon you and dwell in your heart forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. You are witnesses that Adam, Jensen and Leighton have been received into the family and household of God. And I call on you now to pray for them and to care for them, that they may grow up in the faith, in the Christian faith and life, and continue in Christ's service all their days. Jesus reminds us that whoever receives such a little child in his name receives me. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning we worship you for the gift of new lives. We come with joy in our hearts to thank you for these children, to praise you for all their births mean to us and all that it means to you. We thank you for the love that has brought Adam, Jensen and Leighton into being, the care that surrounds them, the excitement their arrival has brought, and the happiness that they have given to those around them. Grant your blessing upon Adam, Jensen and Leighton. Watch over them. Guide their footsteps. Protect them from danger. Bless them with health and fill them with joy. And in the fullness of your time, may they come to know your redeeming love and respond to you in saving faith, discovering the joy and peace that you alone can offer. We pray for James and Katie, for Alan and Ilsa, whom you have entrusted with the ongoing responsibilities of parenthood. Give them wisdom, patience, devotion and dedication. May Adam, Jensen and Leighton enrich their lives in immeasurable ways. And may they in turn offer to Adam and Joshua, Jensen, Leighton and Marcus, the security of loving homes in which to grow. Help them through their words and actions to sow the seeds of your love in their children's hearts, and then to give them the space to make their own response in your time. And so we thank you today for our children, for these families gathered before us. We thank you for your love which surrounds each one of us today and every day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing the hymn, a lovely hymn, and I think the children will be after the hymn is finished, the children will go out to their Sunday school. It is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark. And we're breaking into the chapter 14, where we've had the disciples and Jesus gathered together for their Last Supper. And Jesus says to the disciples in verse 27, he says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them. "For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "If I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. That is the cup of suffering that he was about to drink for all of us on the cross of Calvary. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Amen. May God bless to us this reading of his word, and to him be all the praise and the glory. Let us sing again to God's praise. The words of the hymn, there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. When you read the Gospels, you get the impression that Jesus enjoyed being with his friends, just like ourselves. He enjoyed the company of those whom God had given to him as that close band of disciples. And he spent so many times with them in prayer and just sharing so many different things. He seemed to have had this little band within this group of disciples of Peter, James and John, who seemed to be that bit closer to him. And they were even given a glimpse of the glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and actually heard the voice of the Father God when he spoke to them and said, this is my Son, this is Jesus whom I love. But he didn't just stop there. He says, listen to him. That's always important, isn't it? It's not just Jesus whom I love, but God the Father says, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to what he says. And we need to hear that ourselves today. They had finished sharing the Last Supper together. And Jesus said to the disciples, he says, you will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd. He was the good shepherd. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Now, can you imagine how the disciples must have felt when they heard these words? Their commitment to Jesus, their devotion to Jesus, was about to be cast into doubt. And by no other person than Jesus himself. And Peter would have none of it. Peter would have none of it. He says, even if all fall away, I will not. He was going to be committed right to the very end. And I'm sure we've been like that ourselves. If we've taken upon ourselves a responsibility, a commitment, we want to see it through. We will carry it through right to the very end. And then he goes on, Jesus goes on to say that, Peter said, you are going to deny me. And Peter turns around and says, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. I will never disown you. Now that's a long time, isn't it? That's a very long time. To remain committed to anything. I will never disown you. This is the sort of guy you want to be fighting your corner for you, isn't it? Someone is going to be there for you all the time.
And the other disciples weren't going to be put in the shade in any way by Peter. And the Bible tells us that all the others said exactly the same thing. They were encouraged, weren't they? Because they were there together. There is strength in numbers, isn't there? There is strength in numbers. I find it easy to be a Christian when I'm gathered with God's people in church, but when I step into Monday and I'm on my own, it's a different thing. Your people who you're working with may come and say, "Well, what did you do, Charles? What did you do at the weekend?" "Well, we went out for a meal and we washed the car and we did this and we did that." And you somehow or another, you forget to tell them that you actually worship God, that you attended church. I hope it won't happen, but what if somebody comes to James and Alan tomorrow and say, "Well, what did you do at the weekend?" "Well, I don't know what they were doing yesterday," or whatever. But imagine if they somehow or another, they cringed and said, we're not going to tell them that we brought our children for baptism. Because they might be asked, "Why? What's significant about that? You had to profess your faith in Jesus. What does that mean?" And so sometimes it's easier to just to hold back. Fine when we're in a crowd like this. When I became a member of the church, I had to go before the Kirk session. That's how it was in our congregation, and to profess my faith in Jesus. When I was ordained to the Word and Sacrament, I had to make commitments to the congregation, to the presbytery, to God. When I got married, I gave a wholehearted commitment, a lifelong commitment to her, to be her husband. When my children were baptized, I made a commitment to them, and to the church, and to Jesus. And James and Katie and Alan and Ailsa and you, as a family of God, have made that similar commitment today. That you're going to do whatever is humanly possible and to provide and to pray for Adam and for Jensen and Leighton, that in dependence upon God's promised help, these little ones will be nurtured and surrounded by the love of God and the message of the gospel, so that in due time the Holy Spirit will work in their lives and bring them through to faith in their Savior Jesus. That's something exciting, isn't it? That's something exciting for you as a congregation of God's people, to provide Sunday school, to provide every opportunity to support our families, that they might grow in the knowledge of Jesus. It's quite a daunting thing, isn't it? Quite a responsibility that all of us have taken on board. That's why it was only right to tell the mums and dads here that they were not going to be on their own, but that you stood up to be around them, to support them. But I know only too well from my own life that I have failed. That I have failed in these tasks all too often. If you could, you could ask Jesus about Charles MacKinnon and his commitment. If you dare, you can ask my wife. maybe even my children. Jesus knows how so often we fail and fall. But you know, the one who knows every word before we even speak it, the one who searches all our own hearts, gives us the opportunity, gives us the space to make these commitments. Jesus said to Peter, I tell you the truth today. No, yes, tonight, he says. Before the cock crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. And Peter says, never. Never. And Jesus to himself says, aye, right. Wait and see. Wait and see. Now you know what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane. They came to arrest Jesus, and what happens to the disciples? The disciples were told in the Bible, deserted Jesus and they flee. They took to their heels as soon as opposition came. They left Jesus to fend for himself. Oh, Peter follows at a distance. He's not going to get mixed up with them. And then he skulks his way into the courtyard. And someone recognizes Peter and they come to him and they challenge him. But on three occasions, he denies this Jesus. This is a man who had wholeheartedly committed himself to Jesus. I will never disown you. I don't know about you, but I can see myself so much in Peter. Can you not? Maybe not. Maybe you haven't reneged on your commitments. Maybe you haven't reneged on your vows of church membership. I'm glad about that. But there will be some, and we need to support them, and we need to encourage them. We might not have said, I will never go back on that commitment, Jesus. I will never go back on that commitment. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. I wonder how Jesus felt. I wonder what Jesus sensed in his heart when he heard, dear Peter. We know that from what the Bible tells us that Jesus turns and looks at Peter. Have you ever sensed that for yourselves? That sense of somebody, you know, you've let somebody down and you feel a guilt complex and you feel bad. Well, Peter sensed and saw the very eyes of God looking in on him. And what happens? The very look on Jesus' face was sufficient to break down Peter. He broke down and he wept. He wept. He wept tears of regret. But the wonderful thing about the weeping that we have here of Peter, it was also tears of repentance. Tears of repentance, which meant that his life was going to turn around. He was going to begin again. He was going to start afresh with Jesus. This is the wonderful thing about the gospel, isn't it? Oh, the gospel is all about new beginnings. How often do we fail Jesus? But Jesus says, come back. Repent. Turn around. He came to restore us to fellowship with God the Father. And friends, that is an ongoing work, day by day. Oh, thank goodness it is. Jesus was unshakable in his commitment to Peter, even though Peter would let him down. And friends, it's the same where you and I are concerned. Don't think that because we have let Jesus down, that we have let the church down, that that's the end of it. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ might say to us that that's the end. But the higher authority, who is God, says, no, it's not. There is ongoing restoration in the message of the gospel. And friends, if we are tempted to point a finger at anybody, let us remember ourselves that we are Christian, and what Christ would do for us, we need to do for one another. To give space that people are restored and encouraged into the life of the church. Dear friends, and Jesus, who knew Peter and all the disciples, knows each one of us. And yes, he will give us the space to make our commitments, even though he knows that we might fail. It's not what we are intending to do. But we have such a gracious Savior. We have such a wonderful God in Jesus. There is no one like him. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And friends, it is important. It is important that you and I, that we love, that we care, and that we pray for one another. And like Jesus, who went out to look for the lost sheep, that we wonder, why are they not here? What's wrong with them? And we bring them back to the fold of the Church of St. Paul's here. We have committed ourselves this morning at this sacrament to pray for Adam, for Jensen and Leighton, to pray for James and Katie, for Alan and Ailsa, as they seek to be faithful to their baptismal commitments. Let us pray for them and for their families. And let us pray and support, love one another. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the church today. We thank you that you have brought us into the family of faith. And we ask that you'd help us to walk humbly in faith. Even when we stumble, we thank you that you are there to hold us, to keep us going. So, Lord, be with us just now. We ask it in your precious name. Amen. We continue to worship God in our offering as our offering is uplifted. As members of your family, we have gathered for worship and we thank you for one another. We thank you for the joy of knowing you, Almighty God, as our Heavenly Father. And knowing Jesus, your Son, as our Savior and Elder Brother. You have called us to be members of Jesus' visible body of his church. And we thank you for her, and for her witness and service to the gospel down through the ages of time. We thank you for the St. Paul's and Baldernick family of the church. We thank you for Fergus, her minister and pastor. We hold him before you as he's laid aside through ill health at this time. We love him, Lord, and we ask that you'd be very close to him. Be near to Gabrielle and the family. Remember David and Ramsey. Remember Graham, our session clerk. The Kirk session of this congregation. Aileen and all who play their active part in the life and witness of this church. Remember all our youngsters, Heavenly Father. Please, from their early years, may they come to love you and to trust you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior and as their friend. And we pray for our friend, Lorna Ferguson, and her boys, Daniel, Matthew, Callum, and Alistair, as she has time home here in Scotland with family and friends. We pray for our nation, for our Queen and our family, our governments in Westminster and Holyrood at this time of general election. We pray for our troubled world and all whom you have entrusted to the place of leadership within the nations. Closer to home, we pray for those whom we know and love, and those whom we do not know within the confines of our parish, who grieve the loss of loved ones and others who are ill in mind and body, at home and in hospital. Remember all who care for them. We thank you, our gracious God, for the treasured memories that we hold dear of all who have been called home to glory. Those who may have prayed us into the faith, who shared with us in the service of your church, and who have left to us a witness that encourages us to persevere in the race of faith, always looking to Jesus. And so we ask, dear God, this morning that you would receive our worship today. That you would take these gifts that we set before you this morning. And that all that we have offered to you in the name of Jesus would bring glory and honor to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us conclude our service by singing together the final hymn that we find in the back of our sheets, Almighty Father, of all things that be, our life, our work, we consecrate to Thee. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all whom you love, this day and forever.